All right, so what we're going to do tonight and next week, I was going to try and get it all done tonight, but there's too much to go through in one night. Shh. Do you guys want to keep going, or you're good? Okay. So we finished up the Seen and Heard series on Sunday morning this past week, and Brenda reminded me, there was on those questionnaires, there was like a section at the bottom where you could write in, you know, like if there was something you were struggling with, or you want to know what the Bible said about a certain thing. So it's kind of like a place you can write questions in. And some of you guys did that, and we didn't really, some of the stuff we talked about kind of throughout the series, but we didn't really answer those questions directly. So I want to talk about those tonight and next Wednesday night to kind of fully wrap that series up. So we covered a total of 12 topics. We talked about confidence, peer pressure, anxiety, depression, pornography, purity, drugs, alcohol, bullying, body image, academic pressure, and self-harm. Not necessarily in that order, but we covered all 12 of those over the last 12 weeks. We just finished this past Sunday in the high school class. So if you missed any of them, or if you're in middle school and you haven't been in here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they're all recorded, so you can go back and listen to those. You can find them on the website or on your podcast app. So the questions, I think there was like 5 people that filled out something on the questions. And there was some of the stuff I'm going to try and group together. That kind of goes together. And some of it we'll kind of separate out. But one of the things, I think there's three people that put something about like reading their Bible. Like they want help reading their Bible, or they don't know where to read in their Bible, or when they read, they don't really know how to like get something out of what they're reading, or somebody even put like studying the Bible, like they don't really know how to study the Bible. And so with all the topics that we did pretty much on this series, she was right like directly over here on the back side of Jacob. So I looked up statistics. That's what I did with all of the topics. I kind of looked up some statistics to see like where people are at with these different topics. And so when I looked up Bible reading, how many of you guys are familiar with the company Barna? Anybody ever heard of Barna Institute, I think it's called? It's like a Christian organization that does, they've been doing surveys and studies of Christians, non-Christians. They're kind of like a go-to Christian source for like data. And so they put out a study, I think it was in 2023, that said approximately 11% of Americans read their Bible every day, 5% read their Bible 4 to 6 times per week, 9% read 2 to 3 times a week, 9% read once per week, 8% once a month, 8% was 3 or 4 times a year, and then 21% was either never or like less than 2 times per year. So that was just of Americans in the U.S., so not specifically Christians. So 58%, to summarize that, 58% of people read their Bible less than once per month. So that's, you know, a pretty big chunk of people. Almost six out of 10 read their Bible once a month or less. And then 25% of people are reading their Bible more than once a week. So 1 in 4 on average. Now, that's going to skew, you know, if they're lost, obviously they're probably going to be in the 0 times per year group. Hopefully Christians, hopefully Bible-believing Christians, people in like a church like ours, I would hope that the number is higher than 25% of people in our church are reading their Bible at least once per week. But those are the overall statistics. And so as with anything, you know, it's like a little bit, not a little bit. The Bible says that it's not wise to compare ourselves with ourselves. So I'm not, we shouldn't use those stats to say, well, you know, I read my Bible every day, so I'm better than 90% of people out there. Or it's not also not to be used to say, well, I don't read my Bible very often, but if I just read a couple times a month, then I'm better than the average, and that's good enough. Like, that's not the point of those stats. It's not meant to make anybody feel bad or to make you feel, like, puffed up about yourself if you're somebody who reads their Bible regularly. You know, God has given us free will. And, you know, as Christians, especially you guys who are in a church like this that talks a lot about and values reading our Bible, we value, you know, everybody should have their own copy of the Bible. We produce Bibles. We are constantly trying to get people involved in discipleship so they can meet one-on-one and open up the Bible and talk about it. We give you guys chances to ask questions about the Bible. Our church is pretty focused on getting you guys in the Word of God. And so, hopefully all of you guys find yourself in the category that you're reading at least weekly. That would be, a good goal if you're not doing that. And if you're reading more than weekly, obviously the ideal goal is you should be reading your Bible every day. And that's the target. And, of course, there's going to be days that you miss here and there, but the goal should be that we read the Bible every day. And so when I was thinking about, what would I tell somebody if somebody asked me, I don't read my Bible regularly, but I want to read my Bible regularly. When I've read it in the past, I don't really get anything out of it. It's kind of boring, or, I don't really know what I'm reading or where I'm supposed to read. I don't really even know, how the Bible's put together and where should I start. Do I just start on page one and read in Genesis chapter one? You could do that if you wanted to. I think there's a lot of, different ways that you can approach reading your Bible. I would try, if it was me and I was trying to get started in reading my Bible, if you find yourself not reading your Bible and you want to get started, practically speaking, I think it makes good sense to find a place in the Bible that is interesting to you. I would probably not start in, Zephaniah and try and read Zephaniah to start with. That's probably not a good place. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the book of Zephaniah. I probably also wouldn't read Leviticus to start out with. There's places in the Bible that are going to be more difficult to try to read through. There's going to be genealogies. You're not going to get as much out of those things. So when you're starting out, just like with a newborn baby, you don't start them out trying to eat foods that are difficult to chew or that are going to be hard for them to digest. You give them milk. You give them easy things. So, the book of John is one of maybe the most common places that people would recommend you start out at. It's easy to read. It reads like a story. Jesus is in the book pretty much the whole time. You see him from verse one. It goes all the way through Jesus' life. There's parables in there. There's different stories. It reads more like a story. There's some basic, foundational, principle type things. There's verses in there that you're going to recognize. John 3:16. Okay, that's in that book. It gives you a well-known verse that you maybe have heard before. It gives you some foundational principles, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. So, we read some of these basic things. Okay, Jesus is God, and let me find out some stuff about what he has to say. And okay, God loved us, that's why he sent his son. And then, John 14:6, maybe you guys have heard that. Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. So you can get some foundational principles in your life from reading that. It's going to be very easy to read through. There's not going to be words that you don't recognize for the most part. There's going to be words like Pharisees and Sadducees and stuff like that that you might not know exactly off the top of your head. But for the most part, there are going to be words that you know. It's going to be easy to read through. There's going to be a lot of parables and stories that you can take. And some of them, Jesus will even say, here's this story. And then here's what this story means, and this is the example that I'm trying to lay out for you. So he'll break some of those things down. Those are good places to start reading. It's not that long of a book, though, so if you read, a couple times a week, you're going to finish it pretty quick. My favorite book is 1 Samuel. That's one other place I would recommend that you start out reading. That one reads very much like a story. We've taught through 1 Samuel in this class. Nick just taught on 1 Samuel, I think, this last week. It reads like a story. It's the story of David that we've been watching all summer long, happens in 1 Samuel. You know the story of David and Goliath. You can get a lot of principles and things from that. It's going to be, a little different than reading the New Testament, but there's going to be, it's going to be pretty easy for you to read and pretty easy for you, to understand. another place that a lot of people would say that you should start is the book of Proverbs. How many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? 31. What did you say? 119. Also, there's 150 in Psalms. So Proverbs has 31 chapters. There's 30 or 31 days in the month, unless you're talking about February. But you can read one chapter per day, and you can get through the whole book of Proverbs. Open up to Proverbs chapter 16. Oh, we passed out Bibles a minute ago. Verse 3. Is there a Bible in that box?
No.
No, sit down. Okay. So, one of the things about reading the book of Proverbs that I would advise you at, if you want to start reading the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Okay, there's a lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. But it doesn't read anything like a story. Okay, there's almost no stories. There's a few passages that the verses go together. But the book of Proverbs is like a bunch of individual one-off verses that a lot of times don't directly connect to each other. And so sometimes, man, I'll be reading Proverbs. I don't read Proverbs every single day. I try to read it every day. But after a while, you know, after a few months, you've been reading through the book several different times. Each time that you read it, a different verse is going to jump out at you. So I can be reading the book of Proverbs, and I'm just kind of coasting because I'm like, yeah, I know these verses. You know, when I was a kid, we used to read Proverbs at night as a family, my parents and me and my sister. And we got to where, like, my parents would be reading or one of us would be reading, and we'd, like, leave a blank. And we'd, like, let the other, you know, somebody else in the family, like, shout out what goes in that blank. So there's a lot of these verses that I can just, like, I can remember from when I was, like, 10, 11, 12 years old, just hearing these verses, trying to fill in the blanks as my sister or my parents would be reading it. So I've read these verses hundreds of times, some of these verses. And so sometimes I'm just coasting through and, you know, like, I'll just be reading along and all of a sudden there'll be a verse and it's just like, kind of like, hits me in the face. And I'm like, I gotta go back and reread that. Like, what did that just say? You know, I've heard this a ton of times. I was reading Proverbs yesterday. I'm not on the right day. I was reading in Proverbs chapter. Yeah, 29. The word bloodthirsty is in Proverbs. Don't remember ever reading that word in my whole life in the book of Proverbs. But it says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. So, like, every time you read it, there's something different. And I'm like, I don't know how many times I've read Proverbs 29. I mean, it's literally more than 100. And I don't remember ever seeing the word bloodthirsty in there. But so I'll be reading the book of Proverbs and different things will jump out. And different verses will kind of smack me in the face. So here's a few verses that I've underlined just the last time I went through the book of Proverbs that jumped out at me. Proverbs 16:3. Somebody read that for me.
Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
Okay. That's, you know, you can be reading, you start reading in chapter 16, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And then all of a sudden, verse 3, I had to read it again. I had to go get up and go grab a pencil so I could underline it in my Bible because I was like, oh man, this is good. I've seen this before. It sounds kind of familiar, but sometimes God will just, you know, the Holy Spirit will just like make a verse pop off the page to you that you haven't noticed before. Commit thy works unto the Lord. How many of you guys think like, man, I'm trying to overcome this sin, or I'm trying to deal with this thing in my life, or I'm trying to stop doing this thing, or I'm trying to start doing this thing, and it's like, man, I'm trying to think about it a lot. I'm really trying to like institute this in my life. I've done that where I'm just like, I can just will it into existence. I can think about it long enough and hard enough, and I can just make it part of my routine. This verse says, commit your works unto the Lord. And then your thoughts will be established. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. All of you guys in this room know we're supposed to read our Bible. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to go to church, right? We're supposed to pay attention. Like, those are things that we all know. Commit your works to God. Like, just do the things that you know that you're supposed to do. And then God will take care of the rest. Like, it'll start to become a habit. Like, the more you do something, the more it becomes a habit. It becomes part of your routine. I'm not saying these verses necessarily have to jump off the page to you, but these are just some verses that jumped off the page to me. Go to chapter 17. Somebody read verse 4.
The wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to an annoying tongue.
Okay, I didn't underline this one. I kind of bracketed it, and I wrote off to the side, what am I allowing myself to listen to? Like, we got to be careful about the things that we have, like the things that are coming into our ears and our eyes, right? A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. Don't give heed, don't listen to or pay attention to someone that's lying. Like, you don't have to go down that road and follow after people that are just trying to entice you, okay? There's a bunch of different variations of what that could mean, but be careful about what you're listening to. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Just, you know, be mindful of the things that you're allowing into your brain. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Somebody read that one.
Slur plowed by reason of
Alright, what do you guys get from that? Somebody give me something. What do you guys think that verse means? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing.
Like,
okay.
It's cold outside, so he's like, I'm not going to go out and work today. So now, when it's the harvest time, you know, since he didn't want to go out and do it, like when times are tough, I guess, he's going to beg and harvest.
Yeah, like, it's difficult to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, right? Like, you know, I want to try to do better eating. Like, that's a hard thing for me to do. It's hard to eat the right things all the time and to work out all the time. Like, that's a difficult thing to do, right? It's hard to do reading your Bible every day. You gotta sacrifice something else, right? You gotta make time for it by eliminating something else in your life. You gotta have less sleep or less phone time or less time doing whatever activities you like to do. You have to sacrifice those things so that you can make room for the other things in your life. If you want to be, you know, good at football, you have to like dedicate time to that, or volleyball or band or whatever the activity that you're involved in. You have to like practice those things. That's why it's required for you to show up to practice after school and get those things, get better at those things. But this says that the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Yeah, he's going to complain, man, it's too cold outside today. I'll wait till tomorrow. And then tomorrow, it's going to be raining tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to do it tomorrow either. And then before you know, you kick the can down the road, and then it's like time to harvest and you have nothing to show for it. Like I've been kicking the can down the road for my whole teenage life, and now I graduate high school and I don't have any foundation in the Word of God. I haven't been discipled. I don't even know how to study my Bible. I lived with parents who attended church. They took me there. I had multiple Bibles in my room. I had opportunities to like serve and ministry at my church, and I just missed all of these things because it was just too hard to like get up and do those things. Yeah, the harvest party. Like, there's opportunities to do things, and it is difficult, and you have to sacrifice some stuff. There's a lady that called the church. I work in the church. Most of you guys know that. And people call all the time asking for help with money usually. And so some of those I have to like kind of talk to them, figure out the situation. I don't make the decisions on those things, thank goodness, but I have to get all the information from them, try to, you know, ask a bunch of questions and try and figure out, you know, are they, is it, you know, what's the situation? Is it because they're, you know, are they lazy and they're actually just like, they could be working and they're just trying to, you know, mooch off of different people? And, you know, we're a church. We want to do the right thing. We want to help people out, but we don't want to just like, you know, throw money at a situation. We want to like give somebody a hand up instead of a hand out is one of the ways that we describe it. Like, if somebody needs work, you know, maybe we could use them. If it's a guy that can come out and, you know, weed eat. And so sometimes we'll hire him for a couple hours to come do some work or something like that. But this lady called the church this week asking for help moving. She doesn't attend our church. She's never been here before. I asked her how she found out about us, and she's like, oh, some of my friends go there. And I said, what are their names? And she rattled off their names, and I'm like, they don't go here. And she's like, aren't you the church up on the square? And I'm like, no. And I tried to tell her where we're at, and she's like, oh, I must have called the wrong church, but I still need help moving. Can you guys come help? And I'm like trying to find out, okay, well, you know, what do you need? How much help is it going to be? And so, you know, like now I'm praying about, okay, well, I guess, do I need to go help this lady move? Is this something we should try to like move forward on? She's not asking for the money, but you know, all these kinds of things. But if I do that, then now I'm thinking, okay, what time of my life am I going to have to sacrifice doing something else so that I can help this lady? And so, anyway, so things come up. There's opportunities to serve and help people all the time. But it requires us sacrificing something else. One more passage in chapter 22, verse 3. Somebody read that one for me. Proverbs 22, verse
3.
What does that mean? The book of Proverbs is full of verses like this. It's like comparing and contrasting, and it's going to use words like sluggard and prudent man and Like, what is it talking about? The simple pass on and are punished. What does that mean? So, you know, if you're going to read in the book of Proverbs, it's going to take a little bit of, you know, you might have to reread it a couple times. But some of these verses are just going to jump out at you. Like, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. What does that mean? What does prudent mean? What does a prudent man foreseeth the evil mean? Huh? Yeah, maybe a little bit. Thank you, Webster. What'd you say? Hold on, I closed out of it. Okay. So somebody who's careful and someone who has thought for the future. So the prudent man foreseeth the evil. Okay. If you're walking around like this or like this, it's going to be very easy for you to not see something that's in front of you that you could stumble on or trip on. Okay, in a physical sense, that could happen to you. In a spiritual sense, if your eyes are down and you're just like going through life, you know, beep bopping along and you have no like vision for what's happening, you have no like ability to be paying attention spiritually to what's going on around you, and your head is just down all the time, you're not going to see anything that's coming up in front of you. You're not going to see, you know, like opportunities to sin until they're like right in your lap, like in your face, and then it might be too late. You know, so this verse is saying the prudent man is paying attention to evil things that are coming off in the distance. Okay, I can see, like, if I don't change something, my trajectory is headed this direction. There's bad stuff at the end of that road, okay? I don't want to go down that road. Or, hey, the way I'm living my life and the things that I'm doing right now, that's, man, I'm excited about my future. I know that I'm not where I want to be, but man, I can see God starting to change things in my life. A prudent man is just somebody who's paying attention to what's going on around them. It says, but the simple pass on and are punished. Like, man, if you don't watch out for the traps, physical or spiritual, in your life, if you're just simply not paying attention, you're gonna be punished because you're just gonna keep going down that road and, you know, you're gonna get knocked out. So, you know, be paying attention about things that are going on around you. The book of Proverbs is full of stuff like this. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of verses over and over about things like this. Wise ways to handle your life. Don't do this, but do this instead. Or the foolish man does this thing, and then this bad thing happens. So be wise and do this thing. Like, the whole book of Proverbs is back and forth like that. That's why, man, I mean, you can read chapter after chapter, and you should read it every day to get some stuff from it, but some of the stuff is just going to fly over your head. You're going to read that verse about the prudent man. Maybe it jumped off the page to me, but it doesn't jump off the page to you. And you're like, don't know what prudent is. Don't have time to look it up. I'm just going to keep going on. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to look up every verse. You don't have to know what every single word means. But just, you know, as you're reading, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Some of these verses are just going to stand out to you. You're going to read something and it's going to be like, oh my gosh, that's what I've been dealing with something that's like this. Let me reread that verse. What did that say about this? And you go back to it. So it's full of just like little nuggets, like hundreds of little nuggets of wisdom and truth. And so if you want to be somebody who's wise and you want to know, you know, like, okay, how do I live my life according to what the Word of God says? Yes, it's great. You should read the Gospels. You should read Paul's letters to the church. Those are like practically written to you. You should read those things. But sometimes you just need some Proverbs and you just need to know, like, oh, I should stop acting foolishly because this says that if I hang out with foolish people, I'm going to be a fool. Well, I don't want to be a fool, so I'm going to hang out with a different group of people. It can be little stuff like that, simple things to implement. So I would recommend the book of John or 1 Samuel. Add in some Proverbs. Read it when you can. Like, just get some nuggets along the way. But the bottom line about reading your Bible, to whoever it was, again, those were anonymous. I don't know who of you guys said, I need help reading my Bible. I don't know where I'm supposed to read. So I'm just telling all of you, like, any reading is better than no reading. Like, if you don't know where to read and you've already read the book of John and you already read 1 Samuel and you're reading Proverbs, pick somewhere else. Like, there's lots of good stuff in there. What? Read Esther. I think good passages or good books that have good storylines are really easy to get into. The Book of Esther, really cool story. You can read through that book. It's super short. You can read through it. You can get the story. You can reread it again. There's truths in there that you can get. But honestly, it doesn't really matter where you read. There are passages in the Bible that are easier to read than others. But the bottom line is just read. Like, you just be obedient and read the Bible. Like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so, you know, I think too often, just anything in our life, we spend way too much time. I spend way too much time coming up with plans and ideas and, oh man, I could do this and I could do this. And man, if I do that, then this might happen. And I could just, in my mind, I can run down a year from now what this might look like if I do all these things. And then like the next day I wake up and I'm like, nah, I don't even remember what I was talking about then. You know, like I can come up with a lot of ideas. And you guys can come up with a lot of ideas of, oh man, I'm going to read this book and then I'm going to roll right into this one. And I know when I get to this one, it's going to be this and this. Just open up your Bible and start reading something. Like it really doesn't matter that much where you read. The point is just to read. Just back to Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Do the things that you know that you're supposed to do and just be focused on those things. Commit yourself. I mean, what does the word commit mean? Webster, what's commit mean?
I got it.
Who's going to be first?
No question. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. Carry out or mention any feature of obligation.
Okay. Carry out, be committed to, dedicate yourself to, etc., etc., etc. Okay, dedicate then. Dedicate yourself, your actions. Yes, dedicate yourself and your actions to the Lord. How do you do that? You read your Bible and you pray. We're going to talk about prayer next week, but that was one of the other things that a couple people mentioned, like, I don't know how to pray, or I need to be able to pray better. So we'll talk about that next week. But just commit your works. Just decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it. I'm just going to try it for a week or a month. I'm just going to see what God does. I'm going to read every day for a week and see if God shows me something. And I bet He will. You guys that were in that group chat after camp, is that still going?
Yeah.
Do you guys still text each other stuff about... There's the guys were in a group chat. Do you guys still text each other... What? What you're reading?
It's gotten slower and slower.
Okay. Well, get it going again.
A new one.
Huh?
I created a new one, and it's in the new one. It's still running.
Kick some people out.
No.
It's growing. Dylan from Aiden.
All right, so that's one way. So the ladies that are all looking around, they have no idea. The guys have a group chat that they started at camp or right after we got back from camp, and they've been texting each other, trying to keep each other accountable, encouraging each other, talking about what they're reading, things like that. So the reason I bring that up, I haven't talked to Jackson about it in the last couple weeks either, but that's a good way to, like, help commit your ways, commit your works unto God. Like, hey, I'm going to text so-and-so or this group of people in the morning when I read, or at night when I read, or whenever you're reading. I'm gonna try to get one thing, like one little two-sentence nugget that I can text everybody and tell them what God showed me out of my reading today. If you read the Bible, like, sometimes I'll read the Bible and I'm like, sometimes I just read. And I'm just reading and you know, maybe I'm like, my mind is a little distracted and maybe I have to reread some stuff and maybe I get done and I'm like, okay, I read my three or four chapters or whatever and like, I don't really remember a whole lot, but there's a couple little things here and there. But sometimes I'll just pray before I read. I mean, I always try to pray before I read. But sometimes I'll pray, God, just show me like one thing. Just give me like whatever I'm about to read. I don't know what I'm going to read, but just give me like one nugget of something that I can just be thinking about. And so, you know, I mix it up a little bit whenever I'm reading. That's how I do. I pray and I'll ask God. Sometimes I say, God, just give me one thing, or God, help me stay awake while I'm reading this time because, you know, it's too late, or, you know, God, whatever. Like, hey, I'm reading to study this time because I'm going to teach. So right now when I'm reading, I want you to, God, give me some things that I can, like, pass on to everybody else. So different times I'm reading for different reasons, or I'm praying about different things before I read. But you know, having a group chat or having a person that can help, like, keep you accountable, that's another way you can commit your works unto the Lord. You can talk to another person or another group of people and say, listen, hey, I really suck at reading. I'm like, I don't like it. I'm not good at it. I never really get anything out of it. But Luke was talking tonight, and, like, I really know that I need to start reading my Bible. And I really want to, like, get something out of it. So can I text you when I read my Bible? And will you text me when you read your Bible? And, like, we can just tell each other what we're reading. Maybe we can read in the same place, and we can see, like, hey, where are you reading? And I'll just jump in, and I'll start reading with you. That way, when you tell me what you got out of it, I can see if I can remember the same thing. Or if you text me first, then I'll be looking for that whenever I read. And then now we're on the same page, you know, like, maybe there's somebody that in this class that you know, or somebody else that you know that's not here, that reads their Bible regularly, that you can count on them, and you can, like, work together and, like, tag team it. And one of you guys can text and be like, man, I read that whole chapter today, and I don't have any idea. Did you get anything out of it? Because I got, like, nothing out of that one. And the other person can say, yeah, me too. Do you know what this word means? No, I didn't. I didn't know what it meant, but I looked it up. Here's what it says. You know, like those kinds of things are profitable. And, I mean, those are not going to typically continue for, like, years at a time. How long have we been back from camp? 2 months? We've been back for like 60 days, right? And it's hard to continue that group chat. It's hard to keep the momentum on things like that going. But so start something different, you know, like start a new group chat with one person, or start a group chat with a whole different group of people, or just don't tell anybody what you're doing. Just read. Like, it doesn't matter. Just mix it up. Try different things. The main point is just get in the Bible. Yeah, it can be a group chat with just you and God. You can just tell God what you're reading. Thank you, God, for revealing that thing to me. And God's going to be like, did you get this other thing? You missed that. Go back and reread it. Yeah.
It's an Android one, I know that.
I can't
text Android. It's not an Android. All right, we're gonna stop there. I got halfway through page 3 out of 8, so we'll pick up the rest of it next week. Good question.
Statement.
All right, Nick has a statement.
The junior high, the pumpkin patch, the 18th.
Okay.
2 weeks.